जयं शुपालपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्दभक्तवेदान्तगोस्वामिमहर्षिशीलप्रभुपादकी जयं नृतिलीलाप्रविष्टविष्णुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीमान् भक्तसिद्धान्तसरस्वतीमहर्षिशीलप्रभुपादकी अनन्तकोटिवैष्णववृन्दकी नामाचार्यशीलहरिदासठाकूर्की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्दश्रीअद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्दकी श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोपगोविनाथ श्यामकुण्ड राधाकुण्डगिरि गोवर्धानकी वृन्दावनधामकी मायपूर्धामकी मधुरपुरिधामकी जगन्नाथपुरिधामकी द्वारकापुरिधामकी गङ्गमायिकी यमुनमायिकी తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తవృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాత్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదికవై ముహ్యందియత్సూరయ తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో త్రత్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్ము శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానథోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షతాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయకిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృతానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదామురారే మధురిం నః కణికాభి కాభి కాభి നമോ വിഷ്ണു പദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാപരമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, last Sunday, we were reading from this Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, 16th chapter, which is known as Vibhuti Yogam, isn't it? Krishna's different Vibhutis, that's what we're talking about. So, Krishna says that, if you look at the verse 9, Aham Almudhavamisham Bhudanam Sukhruti Ishwara Aham Sarvani Bhudani Tesham Stiti Ulbhavapeyaha. So he says here, Aham Atma Uddhava Amisham. I am the soul of all living entities. I'm the soul of all the living entities. Bhudanam Sukhrut Ishwara. Not only Sukhrut, but also Ishwara, the controller. The controller. And Aham Sarvani Bhudani. തേഷാം സ്ഥിതി ഉത്ഭവപേഹ ഉത്ഭവം അവ്യവ്യയം സ്ഥിതി ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദി ദെയർ ഒറിജിൻ ആൻഡ് ദെയർ സസ്റ്റനൻസ് ആൻഡ് ദെയർ ഡിസൊല്യൂഷൻ എവറിഥിങ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് വിത്തിൻ മീ കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് സോ ദി ദിസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർ വൺ വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ അഹം ആത്മോദ്ധവ അമീഷാം ഭൂതാനാം സുഹൃതി ഈശ്വരാം അഹം സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി തേഷാം സ്ഥിതി ഉത്ഭവ സ്ഥിത്യുത്ഭവാപേയ ദിസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർ ഉപാസന ഓർ ദിസ് പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് ഫോർ സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഈസ് അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് ടു ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ഇൻ എ അഡ്വാൻസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ എവ്രിബഡി വിൽ നോട്ട് ബി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് സോ ഉത്തമാധികാരി ഓർ പർട്ടിക്കുലർലി ഓൺ എ ഹയർ ലെവൽ ഫോർ ദം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് അഡ്രസ്ഡ് ടു And those who are not in that state, who are Mandadhikari or Madhyamadhikari, that means the middle class or the Kanishthadhyayi lower level, for them addressing that certain other vibhutis are spoken from now on. That's what you will find in the next few verses. Aham gadir gadimadam kala kalayadam aham gunanam japyaham samyam guninya utpattiyo gunaha. Aham gadir gadimadam kala kalayadam aham gunanam japyaham samyam guninya utpattiyo gunaha. Krishna says that although Krishna is the cause of everything, and in a special way Krishna is present here, that for those who are endeavoring for perfection in life, what is that perfection? Realization of the truth, self-realization, in other words. For them also, the ultimate goal is me. Krishna says, ultimate goal is me. So this material existence is compared to something like material existence, like a desert. In this desert, we are struggling. In this material life, we are struggling. All of us are going through a lot of tormentation or suffering in various ways: birth, death, diseases, old age, everything. And Krishna is saying, this coming and going business, accepting another body, leaving this body, accepting another body, leaving that body, accepting another body, continuously getting recycled in this way. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that for them, aham gadir gadi madam kala kalayadam aham. For them also, I am the goal. For those who wants to free from that process of continuously changing body. As we discussed yesterday, that the three problems of old age, disease and death is sufficient to put anyone off from this life. Yeah, isn't it? Old age, disease and death is enough that one do not feel very motivated to continue in the material world, in this life, what we have. Added to that, we have this unknown factor which we don't know, but Shastra is talking to us, that after we leave this material body, we have to accept another material body again, which is the worst thing, and start the whole business again. Normally you can see that at some point in time, people get frustrated with this body and they want to finish up the body. But actually what we have to finish up is not the gross body. What we have to kill is the subtle body. It is that subtle body is the cause of the birth. Because that knowledge is not there, people have taken to this principle of killing the gross body and escaping, but they have not escaped. That is how subtle the control is from Krishna. People who propagate about this euthanasia and all that, they have to understand this, that gross body will finish at least one day and it will go. But where is the solution really? There is no solution. Subtle body is the cause of everything. And that subtle body never gets killed. On the other hand, it takes you to another body again. And what are we going to do there? So karmam, which is the cause of all this, which creates karma vasana, and in turn it creates another material body, it continues to put us in this awkward situation. Krishna says, therefore, aham gadir gadi madam. Keep the goal as Krishna at the end. That is the only way to free oneself from this cycle, from this continuous process of changing the body. So that's why he says here that in the Ushu Sahasranamam, if you see, he says, Muktanam Paramam Gadi Avaya Purusha Sakshi Shedrajnyokshara Evaja Yogo Yoga Vidam Neda Pradhana Purusheshwara. Krishna is addressed like that. Vishnu's lotus feet is addressed as Muktanam Paramam Gadi. Muktanam Paramam Gadi. Those who want to release from this cycle of material existence, Paramam Gadi, the ultimate goal is Krishna's lotus feet. Muktanam Paramam Gadi. As far as Kala Kalayadamaham, this is another thing. What is Kala Kalayadamaham? Kala Kalayadamaham means, Krishna is saying, we all have to surrender to one thing in this world, isn't it? No matter who it is, what is that? Time. Time. Time controls us all in a very subtle level. Our activities, plans, everything come to a dead end with time. Time can decide how long, when we finish. Krishna says that death personified. I am that, he says. So time is a factor to which we all have to eventually surrender. There is no choice there. There is no choice there. Because with the time, our existence, we run out here. Our existence is finished here with time. So, kalam kalayadamaham. Krishna says that time in that form, it's me. So, and this time has the capacity to control everything in the creation. Everything changes, isn't it? The six different kinds of changes happens to all material objects in this world. Whether it is buildings or lakes, rivers, whatever it is, you can see over a period of time, everything changes. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. So this change is happening due to the presence of the time. Time is the factor behind it. And time is connected with that, in other words. In relationship with the time, it happens. So therefore, and this time has this capacity to change everything. And even that time, Krishna says, that time is me. That time is me. Or in the form of Rudra, Krishna comes as time. So, then, gunanam chapyaham samyam. Gunini aupatiyo guna. Gunanam chapyaham samyam. In other words, when all the three modes of material nature are balanced in a person, that's me, Krishna says. Gunanam chapyaham samyam. Samyavastha. There is two states, samyavastha and vishamavastha. When they are unbalanced, we are in trouble. When the modes of nature is unbalanced in a person, then we are in trouble. And gunanam chapyaham saumyam. So, when they are in a balanced state, he can execute in the life in the proper way. He can live in this world proper way, manage his life properly, when the modes of nature are balanced. When somebody is predominated with the lower modes of nature, naturally he cannot do anything about it, isn't it? Sometimes we can experience when rajogunam or tamogunam predominates in ourselves, you can see you have no inspiration to engage in spiritual life, or you have no interest to study shastram, or not even any spiritual thoughts occurs inside. Everything controlled by that particular mode. Isn't it? Particular mode. So that's why Krishna is saying that if the modes of nature are balanced properly, Krishna doesn't say that you should only remain in sattvagunam. That is not possible. There are always sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. But a balance is necessary. Only then we can conduct life in this world properly. Rajogunam is necessary to work in this world. And tamogunam is necessary to rest in this world. Suppose you don't have no tamogunam, you won't get sleep at night. Isn't it? So, tamogunam is necessary, rajogunam is necessary. Suppose you want to do anything in this world, there should be a certain amount of rajogunam in a person. You can't be completely free from rajogunam. And sattvagunam is essential to develop spiritually. To develop spiritually. So, a balanced state of sattvam, rajas and tamas is necessary for self-realization also. So that is why Krishna is saying, gunanam japyaham samyam. That samyavastha, balanced state of the modes of nature, is me. Then, guning aupatiyo gunaha. Krishna is saying here that gunam, gunany aupatiyo gunaha. So, every time when you see a particular gunam, particular mode of nature present in a person, Krishna says, that's me. The quality of that gunam is me. In other words, in sattvagunam we do something good, certain good things in spiritual activities. In other words, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship. All these are activities in the mode of goodness. Although we will say that only in mood of goodness you will feel inspired to do that. Is it not? So, therefore it says here, guninyo aupatiyo gunam. That gunam predominates and that gunam itself is Krishna. Equally, in rajogunam to do something, that is also Krishna. That gunam that comes from, that is also Krishna. So, in all objects in this world, Krishna is saying, you should see me as though I am that particular mode of nature. In every object in this world, everywhere Krishna's presence through the three modes of material nature. In some sense, in the Shastram we will say that the three modes of material nature, which is present everywhere, all the time, even in that, in the three modes of material nature, we also observe one thing, that the presence of that particular mode in a person has a different effect. And this presence of that mode in a person, Krishna is saying, you should accept as my presence in them. The same way it is spoken, three modes of material nature is Maya, isn't it? It's also Prakriti, Maya. But Krishna says, when you see that particular modes of nature in a person, you should see me there. In other words, Maya is also not different from Krishna. It's not two different entities. Come from Krishna. Maya has also come from Krishna, isn't it? Maya has also come from Krishna. So Krishna's another energy is this Maya. And in that material energy, there also Krishna's presence is there inside that Maya. That's how we have to see it. We should never think that, oh, Maya is completely separate, I have nothing to do with it. You will never escape from Maya. But knowing this, that Maya has this powerful influence on everyone, we know that. And sometimes in the Shastram it will say, Maya is independent. Maya, we have to escape from Maya. We will say like that. Krishna is saying here, that gunin autpatiyo gunam. That gunin autpatiyo gunam means that gunaswarupam. That gunam in particular person, when it's happening, you should see me there in that as well. In that as well. That's why he says here that the guninam apyaham sutram mahadamcha mahanaham. Okay. Aho aham gedirmadiyadam kalam kalayadam aham. Gunanam japyaham saumyam. Guni autpatiyo gunaham. Then after that Krishna says, Guninam apyaham sutram mahadamcha mahanaham sushmanam apyaham jiva durjayanam aham mana. Durjayanam aham mana. This is interesting. Guninam apyaham sutram mahadamcha mahanaham sushmanam apyaham jivo durjayanam aham mana. Says guninam aham sutram mahadamcha mahanaham. Guninam aham sutram mahadamcha mahanagam. We know what is known as sutralma, isn't it? Sutralma is that thread what is going through everyone. Krishna is present in the form of that thread in everyone. And sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, the three modes of material nature, sattvadi gunam. Sattvadi gunatrayam, or these three modes of material nature, Krishna says that when I am present in everyone as a sutralma, or the thread with which is binding all of us in that, along with that the three modes of material nature is also present. In other words, it is sutralma's presence in us is keeps that modes of nature in us. Sutralatma's present in us keeps the modes of nature in us. In Shastram you will see sort of statements like that. We may not completely understand this, but we just have to accept it. There is no other way to explain these things. Guninam aham sutram mahadamcha mahanaham. Krishna says here, sattvadi gunatrayam. And sattvadi gunatrayam means sattvam, rajas and tamas. Three modes of material nature. And I am the sutralma, which is maintaining that three modes of material nature in us. Because it is a very subtle thing, isn't it? Material nature, modes of nature if you study, we will discuss that later when we come to the, later on there is Bhagavad Gita, there is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. There is one whole chapter about the modes of material nature. And the same thing will come here also in Bhagavadam later. Same three modes of material nature. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. But you can see what Krishna's point is, that these three modes of material nature present in everyone because I am present there as sutralma. That sutralma is the one which keeps the three modes of nature in us. Three modes of nature present in us. And also he says here that the among all the gunanam apiham sutram Mahadamcha Mahanaham, Krishna is saying. Mahadamcha Mahanaham means, among all the great things, I am Mahatattvam. I am Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam. From Mahantattvam comes Ahamtattvam. And from Ahamtattvam comes Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Like that. The three modes of intelligence. In the creation, you will see that. Mahatattvam. And Sushmanam Aham Jiva Durjayanam Manaha. Sushmanam Aham Jiva. Of the all things in this world, the most subtle thing is Jiva, the living entity. Of all the subtle things in this world, the most subtle thing is the living entity. And again, Krishna is saying, Durjayanam Aha Manam Chasmi. Durjayanam Aham Mana. And of all the things in the world, to fight and win, the most difficult thing is the mind. Very important thing, isn't it? We think fighting a war is difficult. Nothing it is compared to fighting the one's own mind, isn't it? Because fighting the war is on a gross level. We fight every day with something or the other. Whole life is a fight. Whole life is a fight. But what is Krishna saying? That's nothing compared to fighting your own mind. Durjayana mahammana. This mind which continuously brings thoughts one after the other, chitavrti, one behind the other. We are all baffled by that kind of thoughts that comes in and how it disturbs our, we lose our balance itself sometimes, isn't it? That we think that we have got, the moment you think you have control over the mind, the very next moment the mind will throw you into an awkward situation. That's why people find it so difficult. All yoga processes is directed towards this one thing, how to get the mind under control. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Mano Nirodham. It is called Mano Nirodham, how to control the mind. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram is also says that Yoga Chittavritti Nirodha. Yoga means Chittavritti Nirodham, how to stop this mind. Where this thing has come, mind, it has come from the soul. Where is it? Nobody knows. How to get to know him? Nobody understands. Although we have all these different departments in the university and all that, even they are also under control of the mind, those who are trying to study the mind. And it becomes so much a difficult thing to study this mind, because when you are trying to study the mind, you are also studying with the mind. You are trying to study the mind with your own mind. And this mind will throw you into such awkward situations, you never get a grip over it. This is the difficulty with this mind. And we all have got a mind. That is the problem. We all have a mind. And we think that it's a very precious asset, what we have got, this mind. But Shastram is telling us this is the whole problem, this whole thing called the mind. That has caused all the problem, acceptance of another body, all karmavasana stored up there, and all the thought waves that it creates. And even if you leave your vacant state, when you go to the dream state, there also he comes and gives you a lot of trouble. And so what do you do? Therefore it says, Durjayana Mahamana, that just to tell us that we have practically no control. In the vacant state, even if you do something, he'll come in the dream state in his own way. Because there he predominates everything, the mind, isn't it? Durjayana Mahamana. Krishna says, to win over this mind is the most difficult thing in this world. In this world. Guninam apyaham sutra mahadamcha mahanaham. Then, sushmanam aham jiva. Sushmanam apyaham jiva. And durjayanam aham mana. Durjayanam aham mana. So, you can see that the among all the subtle things, Krishna says, I am the most subtle, which is that the soul. Soul is the most subtle thing. Nobody understands what, that is why soul still remains as a mystery to many people, isn't it? Because of its subtle nature. So he says here, the sutram, he says, sattvadi gunam, that means sattvam, rajas and tamas. we have accepted that in us. We have got it in everybody, isn't it? The three modes of material nature is present in everyone. Practically, Sutralpa and Mahatattvam, he says both are Krishna, isn't it? Krishna is saying here, Mahatattvam is Krishna, Sutralpa is also Krishna. From one source, all these different things are coming. Sutralpa is coming, Mahatattvam is coming from the same source. Mahatattvam is based on the knowledge, Sutralpa is based on the action, karma. That is the difference. Mahatattvam is based on the Jnana Shakti. It is Krishna's Jnana Shakti or knowledge that is coming in the form of Mahatattvam. And Krishna's action is coming in the form of Sutralpa. In the form of Sutralpa. So Krishna says here, the Jiva is not different from Brahman. It has come from Brahman. Jiva is not different from Brahman. But at the same time, Brahman is in big scale. Jiva is in the smallest scale. But because, although he is the bigger than the biggest, the Brahman, when it is experienced through mind, through intelligence and the mind, it appears as though it is small. Appears as though it is small. All these things are very, very subtle to understand. And only thing we can accept it on the strength of the words from Sudev Goswami. There is no other way to completely experience this. So, therefore, it says here that sushmanam apiham jivaha durjayanam aham mana. So, he is called Sutralpa. Why? Because he is present in everyone like a thread. Like a thread, he is present in everyone. Remember, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Sutralpa. He is talking about Sutralpa there. That Sutralpa is that thread who is going through everyone. Who is going through everyone. It's not a thread like the way we see the thread, but it is that link which is going through everyone. Our closest connection with Krishna. So, therefore he is called Sutralpa. Now, yesterday we were discussing also in the Bhagavad Gita that this point, that Keshagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpidasya Ja Bhago Jivasa Vijnayam. That the size of the soul, it's always, people ask this question. They will always ask this question. You say it is so small. How small? That will be the question. How small is it? We have got now the measuring instruments, the scientists have, with which they can measure things which we can't see with our eye. So can we measure the soul with that? All these questions come, isn't it? The fact, what you have to understand is, this statement, what it is not to tell us that soul is something you can measure. It is to tell us that it is so small, to show to us the sushmatvam, or the subtlety of the soul, to tell us that it is spoken in that way. Not that Krishna has measured and find out the size of the soul. Krishna didn't have to measure anything. It's only spoken like that. Keshagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpidasya Ja. Keshagra means the tip of the hair. If you make 100 times and again 100 times, so 1/10,000 or whatever, the tip of the hair. Bhago Jivasa Vijnayam. Note that is the science of the, that's the size of the soul. That is what Jiva, size of the Jiva. In other words, what it says, that he is so subtle and you cannot measure him. You cannot find him, you cannot measure him. So better not to think in terms of measuring the size of the soul. Most of us feel that, isn't it? Want to find out how big is it, this soul. If we are that small, then whole gross body, what value has it got? And so, in order to tell us that it is so subtle, that it is spoken in that way. It is spoken in that way. And then Krishna says that of all the things to fight in this world, most difficult thing is this mind. Is this mind. Because the nature of this mind is, he is such a funny enemy that you fight with him, as soon as you fight and subdue him, he will pop up again in another form. This is the, all other enemies you kill once, he'll die and go. But this one, you kill, he'll come up another form. You kill him, he'll come up in another form. He'll come up in another form. So Krishna says here, continuously it will come against you, fighting against you. So therefore, mind is, Krishna says, I am that. Because this nature of the mind, Krishna says, is coming from me. That's how we have to understand Krishna. Durjayana mahammana. So without Krishna's mercy, nothing can be done. If you want to get out of this system, what Krishna has put us into, Krishna himself has put us, created us in that way, isn't it? That there is no freedom, anything, to thinking. That is why even while performing sadhana, it should not be done on the platform of the mind or the platform of false ego, because there is no surrender there. What is expected of us is surrender first. Inside we have to surrender first. That I'm not going to accept this mind. Trust mind is not helping me in spiritual life. Although in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, Uddhared Atman Atmanam Nalpmanam Avasadayat Atmanyev Atmano Bandhu Atmaiva Ribur Atmana. So there the mind is spoken, one who is favorable in spiritual life, he is your friend. And one who is not favorable is your enemy. There it says there, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is spoken purely, the chances that the mind becomes favorable for spiritual life is very, very rare. It's very rare thing. Only there, once you reach a very high state of purity in inside, consciousness, in other words, when all the vasanas have gone away from inside, then that mind won't give any trouble. Then practically there will be no mind. Mind means what? All the thoughts that's coming, which gets mixed up with our vasanas in the subtle body, and that causes the problems day after day for us, isn't it? So this vasana inside, vasana chayam it's called, all that vasana has to go from inside, karma vasana, karma vasana. Karma vasana, once it leaves us, then there is this mind will not drag us again into action, and it will not drive us again into bondage. It will not drive us. As long as we have vasanas inside, we will have the desire to engage in karma. Karma. Karma vasana will be there. And when we engage in karma, it will create reaction from them, depending on the karma we perform. So in a subtle level, you can see that the mind is making all these activities inside us. Inside us. Subtle body means mind. Basically, you can see, out of the four things in the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, and chittam. These four things constitutes a subtle body. Mind is the one which is the controller there. The other things are not that powerful as the mind. Mind is everything is coming from the mind. Mind is the source. So, depending on the action it performs, that subtle body, you can't even probably visualize it, or you can't even imagine how that whole thing works inside. We talk about subtle body. What is the subtle body? Okay, in a computer, you can look at it and keep different sectionalized parts. But even that you can't visualize here. There is something happening inside in the form of that subtle body where we are experiencing continuous thoughts going through, which is in the form of mind. Then we have decision-making power, which is in the form of intelligence. Then we have this I am the doer principle all the time. I have to do it. I am doing it. I am this. I am that. I am that. Which is in every action we perform, which is false ego. And then lastly, above all, whenever whatever actions we have performing here, it comes out in the form of vasanas and it stays there permanently in what is known as chittam. So these four things, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, they are in one package and it does all the jobs which we don't know how it works. It works. It works. So there, depending on the function it does, we call it as mind, call it as intelligence, call it as ahankaram, or call it as chittam. It does not matter. But whatever it may be, this is the very cause of our material life, isn't it? Material body has developed based on this. based on this subtle body, based on this subtle body. It is amazing, very amazing, that the modern science is not able to accept this principle, that this subtle body is causing the birth of another body. Even that very fundamental principle, they have not come to that state yet. They are still, they don't know the answer. They also don't believe that there is another birth after leaving this body. Even that they are finding it difficult to accept it. In other words, they are still hovering around the gross body, isn't it? They are still hovering around the gross body. Whereas everything in spiritual life is the subtle side. Gross body has not been given any importance. They know that it is that subtle body we have to deal with. If we all become conscious of that impact of the subtle body and how much damage and how much misery it is creating for us in this life and in the life, many life after this. The whole thing is coming from there. Something like you can say that it is from the subtle body that all our future birth is decided. Isn't it? Whatever vasanas we have created in that subtle body, that is the key in a human body. That is where everything is happening. And instead of trying to get rid of this subtle body, what do? We try thinking that gross body is our problem, let me kill the gross body. Whole discussion from the government as well as from all the scientists and everything is around this gross body. How to solve the problems of the gross body? If they just let this gross body not to bother, but rather work on the subtle body, there will be much more happiness in life than what we experience today. If you don't understand the subtle body, because they don't even believe in that there is a thing called subtle body operating inside. They just believe that it is something. They all talk about this brain every time, talking about the brain. But brain has got its own limitations. And that's why it says here that Guninam Apiham Sutram, Krishna says, Mahadamja Mahanaham. Whenever Krishna says something, if you observe there, you will see that everything what Krishna says there is very much what Bhagavad Gita is saying, also what Bhagavatam is saying, and same thing Ushvamanishad is saying. All Upanishads will talk about in the same way. There is no anywhere any differences. Just because the sages have, different sages have come with different Upanishads. But on these things, there is no difference of opinion. There is no difference of opinion. All the sages agree on these issues. There is no difficulty at all. That Guninam Apiham Sutram Mahadam Cha Mahanaham Sushmanam Apiham Jivaha and Durjayanam Aham Mana. And when we have not learned how to come to control over this mind, Durjayana Mahamana, Krishna says, all your so-called progress, everything is just a waste of time. It has no value. So that is what that is. Then Krishna is saying the next verse, Hiranyagarbho Vedanam Mandranam Pranavastrivral Aksharanam akarosmi padani chandasamaham. Hiranyagarbho Vedanam Mandranam Pranavastrivaram Aksharanam akarosmi padani chandasamaham. Vedanam Hiranyagarbha asmi. Krishna is saying there, among the Vedas, who have taught Vedas in this world, I am Brahma. Hiranyagarbho Vedanam. Then Mandranam Pranavastrivrat. Mandranam Pranavastrivrat. Krishna is saying that among the mantram, I am Pranavam. Why Pranavam? Pranavam is Om. Om, if you break up, it has got three parts, isn't it? Akaram, Ukaram, Makaram. A, O, Ma. If you combine all these three, it becomes Om. A, O, Ma. Now, Akara, Ukara, Makara, Almagam, Pranavam, it says here. And Krishna says, Mandranam Pranavastrivar, Aksharanam Akarosmi. Among all the letters, A is me. A is me. Aksharanam Akarosmi. Akaram, A. All letters begins with A. Isn't it? A or A. Of course, it's changed to A, but originally it is A. And in other languages when it came, it has got changed, that's all. So, aksharanam akarosmi. You can see anything you say, there is A in there. In almost all the words, if you look at it, there will be A in there, A's presence in there. Aksharanam akarosmi. Among all the letters, I am that first letter, A. There is a system in the past that before the children start their education, they are asked to sit down and write the alphabets first, so that you don't start writing some swearing words or something in the beginning itself. at least the beginning be auspicious. Later on everything changes, no doubt. So the original system is that before they get into that stage, you first make them to sit down and write the letters. So the first letter what they write is A. Is A. Why? Krishna says, I am that letter. Aksharanam akarosmi. Those who are specialized in this language, they will know about this letter A better. They can say about that. Aksharanam akarosmi. Padani chandasam aham. Krishna says, chandasam padani asmi. Among the chandas, I am Gayatri. I am Gayatri. So, why he says like that? Among the instructors of Vedam, I am the Brahma. Those who have instructed Vedam, I am the Brahma. Among the mantras, I am Om, letter Om, which is Agaram, Ukaram, Agaram. And among the these three letters make Pranavam, Om. And among in the letters, I am A, Akaram. And in the chandas, I am Gayatri. Padani chandasam aham. So, you can see, without agaram, the letter is not complete. Letter is not complete. So, Krishna saying this agaram, you should think of me as Krishna. You should think of Krishna as agaram. Padani chandasam aham. This chandase is an interesting thing. Chandase is, what this chandas means, you will see this chandas spoken in different places in the Bhagavadam also. You will see the word chandas. Bhagavad Gita also comes the word chandas, isn't it? In a particular place in the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice chandas is mentioned. That let me look at that. It says. I think it is in the 13th chapter where it's mentioned about chandas. 15. Is it? 15. Yes. Urdhumoolam, first verse. Urdhumoolam athashagham ashwatham prahuravyayam. Chandamsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavid. Krishna says, that is in the 15th chapter, first verse. Krishna is saying there, that there is a banyan tree. This is about that tree which is upside down, which has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. That is chandasa. And one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So this chandasa, you will also see that the Krishna's carrier, Garuda, when he flaps his wings, that is also called chandomayam, is chandasa. It is also called, according to the rhythm of that. That is, the Garuda flies in that way. So, what is this chandasa means? Chandasa means, it is one of the six limbs of the Vedas. Vedas have got so many limbs, isn't it? So, it mentions that apart from the Rigvedam, Samavedam, Yajurvedam and Atharvana Vedam, there are what is known as Upavedam. Six Upavedas are there. And they are classified as the Shiksha, and then the Grammar, Vyakaranam, and Chandas, the feet of the Vedas, and Niruktam, Vedas' ears, and Jyotisham, eyes of the Vedas, and Kalpam, the arms of the Vedas, and Upangams are Mimamsa, Nyayam, Puranam. So, in the past, a person is considered to be educated in the Vedic times when he has studied all the 14 Shastram. 14 Shastram. What are the 14 Shastram? Four the Vedas. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samvedam, Atharvedam, Vedam. The four Vedas. Then these six, Vedangam, they are part of the Vedas. That are these six. Shiksham, Shiksha, Grammar, and Chandas, Niruktam, Jyotisham, Kalpam. They are addressed in this way. That's the Sanskrit terminology for that. That means Shiksha is the considered as the nose and the lungs of the Vedas. Nose and the lungs. And Vyakaranam is the grammar. Chandas is the feet of the Vedas. The feet of the Vedas. Niruktam is Vedas' ears. Jyotisham is eyes of the Vedas. And Kalpam is the Kalpa, is the arm of the Vedas. Arm of the Vedas. So 4 plus 6, 10. Like that. Then Upangams. Upangam means the supplements of the Vedas. One has to study that as well. That includes Mimamsa, Nyayam, Puranas, Dharma Shastram, and that's it. 4 plus 6 plus 4. 4 Vedas, 6 Shastras. 4 Vedam, Rigvedam, Samavedam, Yajurvedam, Atharvana Vedam. Then 6 Shastram, Shiksha, Grammar, Chandas, Niruktam, Jyotisham, Kalpam. 4 plus 6, 10. And then 4, what they call as the Upangam. Upangam means supplementary Vedas, which are Mimamsa, Nyayam, Puranam, Dharma Shastram. Each one of them are very big. Each one of them. One, if you spend the whole lifetime, you won't be able to study all that. It is so much there to study. Dharma Shastram also, Dharma Shastra means, which is referred to all the books relationship with how to interpret the Vedas to keep the our life in this world. Expanding that. That is the Dharma Shastram. Puranas are all what we know based on the Upanishad's knowledge. If you get a grasp of this, you will understand where Bhagavad Gita stands, where Bhagavadam stands in that. Bhagavadam is a Puranam. Isn't it? Shrimad Bhagavadam is a Puranam. So, in other words, all these are dependent on the Vedas. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam. That is the four top literature, in other words. From there, all this has come. From there, all this has come. To help us to understand Vedas, these things are necessary. Because Vedas, as you know, is spoken, isn't it? It's not written in the book as such. It is the spoken one. The proper, if you recite them properly the right way, and then it has its benefit. It has its benefit of the Vedas. The Vedic hymns, which were revealed to the sages by Krishna's arrangement, it was revealed to the sages, the Vedic hymns. So, all the Vedic hymns are recited by the Brahmanas who are there for the benefit of the world. For the benefit of the world, they recite the Vedas. So therefore, recitation of the Vedas is the first thing. And those who are reciting the Vedas, some of them don't understand the meaning of the Vedas. They cannot understand. Because if you just study Vedas alone, you won't understand anything. You require the help of all these other supplementary literature to understand Vedam first. So many people who don't study all these things, but they will be trained to recite the Vedas correctly. That much is sufficient because it is Shabda Brahmam. Brahmam, Krishna present in the form of sound vibration in this world is Vedam. Isn't it? So, like that. So, but then there are others who study the Vedas and who study all the other Shastrams as well and they try to understand these Vedic hymns in the proper way. They are more learned. They are given a higher position in the Vedic system. But even after doing all that, they are completely baffled by the subtlety of the Vedic Vedas. Vedic hymns. They still say, for example, there are many, many different interpretations of the Vedas. People are still trying to grasp the what is exactly being thought of when these revelations came in the Vedic hymns. Vedic hymn revelations has come to them. So, therefore, they will given different interpretations also to Vedas. They have given different interpretations to that. But important thing is that Acharyas have given us, who have studied these Vedas in much more depth than any one of us have, they have told us that the ultimate goal of all this is what? Krishna is saying there also, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyam, Vedandakrut vedavideva chaham. Vedandakrut vedavideva chaham. So, Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyam. Krishna, because Krishna gave us Bhagavad Gita, we understand something from there. Vedas are so difficult to understand what is the conclusions of the Veda. But Krishna is saying to us, by all Vedic knowledge, it is me who has to understand. In other words, to know, realize the soul in self-realization is the goal. That is for which all the Vedas were spoken. The sages have given us the Vedas with that in mind. And all the Acharyas also talk to us in that way, that in that principle. All this literature, Vedic literature, is present in this world mainly for that purpose. Main purpose of that is how to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death. We don't have to come back again here to accept another material body. The topmost science in this world, and this is the only science in the whole world that is perfect. Because by following this process and realizing the truth, you are once for all escaped from all ignorance. Whereas all other knowledge in this world, you cannot say it is perfect. Because even after acquiring that knowledge, you are still in darkness. You still don't know what's going to happen after death. You still don't know what's in waiting. Old age, disease, death, no solution to any of those problems. So that's why this knowledge, we have to understand it that way, the importance of Vedas. So in there, Krishna says that Chandas is me. He says, among those, Hiranyagarbham Vedanam Mandranam Pranavastrivrit Aksharanam Akarosmi Padani Chandasamaham. Chandas is spoken like this, that when a tailor wants to make a coat, he takes the measurements, isn't it? He cuts and then stitches the clothes accordingly. And at the same, if he has not taken the measurements, the coat may not fit, or the jacket may not fit. So, if you want to express your thoughts in poetry, or if the thoughts are to assume that the image of that poetry, and if you have to put that cloth, the thoughts in a verse form, it must have proper measurements, isn't it? So, while constructing these verses, it has to have a specific meter and a number of letters in it to obtain a good fit. So what Chandas does is it lays down the rules for this. Chandas lays down the rules for it. It defines everything very clearly into the meter, the rhyme, etc. So there is a book written on Chandas Sutram by a person called Pingala. Pingala has written a book called Chandas Sutram. So this Chandas is considered as Veda Purusha is Chandas. If you think the Vedic hymns is controlled by all these things. In other words, the meter and also the rhyme of the way you recite that. Otherwise, the sound vibration won't come out properly. It is such an exhausting training, this is, how to recite the Vedas. In the past, they had time to do all that. So they did in that way, they spent time to get that perfection in reciting the Vedas. But over a period of time, we got so busy with our belly that we haven't got the interest and in many places they still try very hard to keep this because it requires a lot of dedication from people who are from the early age in life, and they have to be trained for that. So so in the form of poetry, so all the Vedic mantras in the form of poetry are called chandas, or chandas. So you can see, we call normally shlokam, isn't it? Shloka is verses. Shlokas are verses. prose is called gadyam, and the chandas is called padyam in Sanskrit. Gadyam and padyam. This is all the technicalities of the Sanskrit language. If you simply accept it that way, that's the easiest way to know about that. And the first personality who gave these chandas is in Ramayanam. The Valmiki has spoken about that. The first words he says there, that the Ma Nishada Pratishtam Tvat Agama Shashwati Samaha Yat Krauncha Mithunadhidam Mithunadhigam Mithunadhigam Avadhi Kama Mohidam. This was the first verse that came into this world in the Sanskrit language. The first verse. And when they came out from Valmiki's mouth, you remember how Ramayanam started, that the two birds were sitting on a tree and they were having a male and a female. They were sitting on the tree. Valmiki Maharshi and Bharadwaj were walking. Bharadwaj Maharshi is Valmiki's disciple. They were walking along the riverbank. And in the forest, they saw these two birds sitting there. And Valmiki is talking to Bharadwaj about the nature. The sages were very experts in looking at the nature and deriving great strength from the nature. So then they were talking about these two birds. They were looking at the birds and saying, Valmiki was talking to Bharadwaj about them. Suddenly in the forest, a hunter appeared, shot an arrow and killed one of these birds. At that time, Valmiki thought, what a crime he has done. What a horrible thing what he has done. And by chance, the whole that distress in his mind after seeing that, it came out in the form of a verse. And that is this famous verse. Ma nishada pratishtam tuad agama shashwadi samaha yad kaunjamidinadegam avadhi kama mohidaha. He says that he is desperate, he fell, that he cursed him, who the hunter. He says to him that why you disturb anything in the nature? Have they not got the right to live? Like you have the right to live? Have they got the right to live? Says to him, may you not fare well at any time. You have killed one out of the pair of crouches who were happily engaged in love. That the two birds were having a loving relationship between them. And you have disturbed that. And it came out in the form of this verse from Valmiki. So, there itself, then Valmiki is this first verse, what Valmiki spoke in Ramayanam, is considered to be the origin of this verse form, shloka form. It has come in that. Similarly, if you look that how letters are organized in verses, because of all these roots and regulations, Vedic Shastram has survived till now. Can you imagine, all other religious texts in this world has been changed, interpreted, and revised, and different kinds of adjustments have been made by different people at different times, isn't it? Why Vedas did not get that problem? How come all the Vedic literature, particularly you can see these 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam is still there today as the same 18,000 verses? There may be little bit differences in the prints and all that, but the core part of Bhagavatam has not changed. It's still the same. In Bhagavad Gita, for example, we have 700 verses in our Bhagavad Gita, but in some Bhagavad Gita publication you will see one extra verse. That may be so. But the format of the verse and the words in the verses never changed. So the beauty is this, where in spite of so much changes that has happened in this world over, say, last 5,000, 10,000 years, the Vedic Shastram did not experience any change in that. It managed to survive because of all these rules. It was difficult for anyone. Because what it is, if a person is expert in chandas, yeah, and if somebody recite the Vedam, if he hears that, if there is a mistake, if he is learned in chandas, he will tell him that there is a mistake there. There is a mistake there. And that means you have to know the Shastram of Chandas. Chandas, you have to know the Shastram. Not only that, that is from the Chandas side, the meter side of it. You also have to know the grammar side, Vyakaranam. Vyakaranam they are called, Vyakaranam. Grammar side. Then Niruktam, Jyotisham, Kalpam, other things, what is called. They all have its own control on the words that were spoken in the Vedic hymns. So it is so tightly controlled, it's not easy for anyone to write something and say it's a part of the Vedic literature. It won't be acceptable. It will not be accepted. Because over a period of time, this happens in every society. Someone who is very capable of expressing things nicely through poetry, if he writes something and he says, oh, this is part of the Vedas, if he says that, what will you do? But how do they know that? Because it is so difficult. Krishna has created it so fine way, and it was revealed through the sages in such a fine manner that nobody can make any changes in it. It is not possible. Only Krishna can do that. Nobody else can do that. It is so controlled by Krishna. That is why it is given such a powerful position in the Vedic tradition, the Vedic literature. And right here you can see Srimad Bhagavatam is a Puranam. Puranam is one of the supplementary texts in the Upangam, it is called, isn't it? If you look at it this way, the Puranas mentioned there among the 14 verses, Puranas are Upangam. It's called Upangam. Mimamsa, Nyayam, Puranam, Dharmashastram, there are four Upangam. Supplementary Vedas, it's called. Supplementary, not even the main Vedam. Bhagavatam does not even come as the main Vedam. It is come as a supplementary Vedam. But that does not mean that it has no importance. Everything what is spoken in the Vedam has been, the principle is expressed through Bhagavatam also for us to understand, for people to understand. The principle is spoken through the Vedam. But those who have studied Vedam, those who have understood Vedam properly, there is practically not many. You can count them in the finger. And if there is anybody living today in the world, you may be seeing a lot of people who are coming and preaching Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all. Do not think that they are all experts in the Vedam. Vedam is go much beyond than that. The only personalities who had higher knowledge of the Vedas were the Acharyas. Acharyam. That is why Acharyas are given that they know the subtlety of the Vedas. So, and they have come from Vedas. They have brought Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Shuddhadvaitam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Ajindya Veda Vedam, that has come from the Vedas. But therefore, you see, now for example, we have literature. Like for example, if you take various literature which was written by the Acharyas, say even Goswami's literature, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't produce much literature as such except the Shikshashtakam. But Acharya Swamiji has written a lot, Ramanujacharya has written a lot, his commentaries on Brahma Sutram and all that. Although in the higher circle they will accept all this, but still the position given to the Vedas is still higher. Whatever even Shankaracharya wrote, Ramanujacharya wrote, or Vishnu Swami wrote, Nimbarkacharya has wrote, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has wrote, Goswamis have wrote, all those literature is accepted. But in relationship with the status, still the Vedas are on a higher level. Vedas are on a higher level. That we have to bear in mind. They are accepted to the extent that in order to in order to present that understanding of their realization, that much it is accepted. So you can never say that any other text in this world is considered to be the same as Vedas. Vedas' authority, total. There is no question of checking it out. Only all you can try is try to understand it from your own level, whatever level it's possible. Aravinda Ghosh, who was a great learned person, you know, Aravindo, he tried to wrote commentary on Vedas in his own way, saying that this is why how he understands Veda. Dayananda Saraswati, who has the personality who started the Arya Samajam, he has his own interpretation of the Vedas. Like this all time, people are coming and who are learned and who are very intelligent people, they study Vedas and from there they are trying to understand what Vedas mean, what Vedas are saying. So, for ordinary understanding, Krishna has given us this best of all understanding of Vedam through Bhagavad Gita. So, that is how it is, the position with the Vedas. So, if you look into Vishnu's Vishwasasam, you will say, Shuklam Bharadaram Vishnam Shashivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasannavadanam Dhyayen Sarva Vignobha Shantaye. The first verse there. You will see that if you count the letters in each of those lines, you will see the same number of letters. The way they end all these letters, all these things are so finely controlled, it is very difficult to change it. Because if you change it, people will know. The person who knows the rules, they will find the mistake in that. They can immediately point it out. That's why. It is a science, the science of the language is so rigidly followed, therefore it survived for thousands of years without getting any change. Nobody could change and say something else and say that this is Veda. It will never be accepted. That is the principle behind it. So, that's why we are saying here, that's why Krishna is saying here, among that, Chandas is me. Chandas is me. Krishna gives all the Vedic knowledge to this world. Krishna reveals everything. At the same time, if you want to see me in this world, in the Vedic literature, Chandas is me. Chandas is me. So, Indroham Sarvadevanam Vasunam Asnihavyavad Adityanam Aham Vishnu Rudranam Nilalohidaham Indroham Sarvadevanam Vasunam Asmihavyavad Adityanam Aham Vishnu Rudranam Nilalohidaham. Krishna says, Sarva Devanam, I am Indra. Among all the Devadas, I am Indra. And Vasunam Asmi Havyavad. Havyavad means Agni, fire, isn't it? So, among the Vasus, there are eight Vasus, Ashtavasus. Among them, I am Agni. Among the eight Vasus, one of them is Nanda Maharaj, is also a Vasu. Isn't it? Nanda Maharaj. Drona and Dhara. Drona is his name as a Vasu, who came as Nanda Maharaj. And Dhara is Yashoda. Yashoda Devi is Dhara. So, Vasuram Asmi Havyavad. Among the Vasus, I am Havyavad, Agni, fire. And Adityanam Aham Vishnu. There are 12 Adityas. That's how we have 12 months. In the sun planet, Vishnu comes and occupies there in 12 different forms at 12 different months. That's how different 12 months have come. It will come in the 12th canto later. We will be talking about that. That 12 months have come from 12 different forms of Vishnu. So here says Aditya, and one of them is Aditya. Aditya is the prime one. Adityanam Aham Vishnu. Among the Adityana means among the children of Aditi. Aditi's children. That Vishnu, Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Rudranam Nila Lohida. That Vishnu, Vamanamurti. That's me, he says. And Rudranam, among the Rudra, Nila Lohida. Nila Lohida. That means Nila Lohida. A bluish form of Lord Shiva, a bluish form, Nila Lohidan, This is another name of Lord Shiva. Ekadasha Rudra. There is 11 Rudras. One of them is Nila Lohita. I am that. Krishna is saying here. I'm like saying like that. So here, Indroham Sarvadevanam Asmi Vasunam Asmi Havivad Adityanam Aham Vishnu Rudranam Nila Lohita. Aham Sarvadevanam Indraha Vasunam Havivata. That means all among all the devas, demigods, I am Indra, and among the Ashtavasus, I am Agni. Aham Adityanam Vishnu. Among the Adityas, I am Vishnu. One of the names of Aditya is Vishnu. And Nila Lohita Ja Asmi. Among the Rudras, I am Nila Lohita. Nila Lohita is another form. Then, Brahmarshinam Bhrigurham, Rajarshinam Aham Manu, Devarshinam Naradoham, Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushu. Brahmarshinam Bhrigurham, Rajarshinam Aham Manu, Devarshinam Naradoham, Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushu. Krishna says, Aham Brahmarshinam Bhrigu Asmi, Rajarshinam Manu Asmi. Among the Brahmarshi, Brahmarshi means among the sages, Brahmarishis, rishis who have Brahman realized. Among them, Brahman realization has happened to them. Among them, I am Bhrigu. I am Bhrigu. Bhrigu is a very interesting personality, isn't it? If you know Bhagavadam, you will know about Bhrigu. Where all Bhrigu comes? Bhrigu, why Bhrigu? This is the question, isn't it? Why Bhrigu? Is it because Vishnu married Bhrigu's daughter, Mahalakshmi? Lakshmi is Bhrigu's daughter. Is that because of that? No, not because of that. Not that Krishna, Vishnu is saying, "Sir, oh, he's my father-in-law, so let me say, I am him. Keep it everything in the family." No, not that. That's not the reason. It says here, Brahmarshinam Bhrigurham. If you look into Taittiriya Upanishad, you will see that it is Bhrigu who goes to Varuna to know the truth. Varuna, he goes to find out the truth. And that inquiry in Taittiriya Upanishad of Bhrigu is considered very interesting. That Brahmarshi, Brahmam inquiry in realization of the truth. So Bhrigu is a rishi who has come to that sage, has become that sage, Brahmarshi, because of this knowledge of the and realization that he has from the Shastram. You will also notice Bhrigu in other places in the... There is an interesting pastime. What is that? All the sages got together and they wanted to find out among the Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is the most, the greatest? Who is the greatest? They wanted to find out. So the sages had a meeting together. You know that, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam that story is present, spoken. So they got together and they decided to find out among the three, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is the greatest. So they decided to send Bhrigu to find out. So Bhrigu first went to see Brahma to find out how Brahma reacts to the situation. So Brahma is his father. Brahma is his father, isn't it? So when he went there, Brahma started treating him like a son, which he didn't like. So he started asking rude things to Brahma. Brahma got very upset and he wanted to chastise him. So Bhrigu says, "You are not anywhere up to the mark of the test what has been conducted. You didn't pass the test." So he walks away from there. Then he goes to Kailasam to see Lord Shiva. That is mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the end of 10th canto. You will see this pastime there. Bhrigu went to Kailasam, and when he went to Kailas, Lord Shiva was there. And Lord Shiva thought, after all, he is my brother. And he wanted to embrace his brother who had come to see him. He was happy that his brother had come to see him. But Lord Shiva's body is full of ashes and all, and he wearing this skull, garland of skull, and he has this begging bowl made of the skull, isn't it? So he goes to embrace Bhrigu like this. Bhrigu says, "Don't touch me." He says, "Stay away. I don't want to be touched by you." So Shiva got angry and he wanted to finish him up there itself. Fortunately, by now, Saraswati, who was in the Brahmalokam, she heard why Bhrigu had come, but already things have happened in Brahmalokam. He couldn't do anything. Here also things have gone out of control, in Kailasam also. It looks that Saraswati phoned Sri Parvati to take care of, but by then it's too late. So somehow or the other, Sri Parvati pacified Shiva, so Shiva didn't do anything. Bhrigu said to Shiva also, you didn't pass the test. He left. Then he goes to Vaikuntham. When he got there, what did he see? He sees there Mahavishnu in Sushupti state, in deep sleep. And with his feet in Lakshmi Devi's lap. Lakshmi Devi's lap. So when he got there, first thing what he did, he gave a good kick on Vishnu's chest. And normally if that has happened to Shiva or Brahma, they wouldn't have tolerated that. But Vishnu, on the other hand, said to Bhrigu, that did your feet get hurt? He woke up and he started apologizing. I'm sorry, I slept. That when you came, I didn't give you enough attention. So let me massage your feet, he said. And Vishnu started massaging Bhrigu's feet. That point, Bhrigu says that among all the three, you are definitely the greatest. That in spite of being so rudely, I have misbehaved. In spite of that, your reaction was like this, just to show that Vishnu's position is like that. Then Bhrigu comes back and reports that to the sages about this. So Bhrigu, you will see in all this, Bhrigu is a great personality, that he was chosen for this particular pastime, for particular leela, whatever way you want to call it. And so Bhrigu is there. And it is because of this Bhrigu's relationship with Varuna, the way he inquired that truth in Taittiriya Upanishad, that's why Krishna says, he is among the Brahmarshis, I am Bhrigu. I am Bhrigu, for that reason. So, he says here, Brahmarshinam Bhrigu Aham. Among all the Brahmarshis, I am Bhrigu. And Rajarshinam Aham Manu. Among all the Rajarshis, Rajarshi means what? The kings, when they become a sage, they become Rajarshi. Because they were kings in the past, isn't it? Kings means emperors, big, big personality, big emperors. When they become a sage, they become Rajarshi. They become Rajarshi. When normal people, through Brahman realization, they become Brahmarshi. Sudeva Goswami is Brahmarshi. Srinarada Maharshi is Devarshi. When a king became a rishi, sage, he became Rajarshi. He becomes Rajarshi. So among the Brahmarshis, he says, I am Bhrigu. Among the Rajarshis, I am Manu. Swayambhu Manu. He says here, Puro, okay. Brahmarshinam Bhriguraham, Rajarshinam Aham Manu, Devarshinam Naradoham, Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushum. So among the Brahmarshis, I am Bhrigu. Among the Rajarshis, I am Manu, Swayambhu Manu. And among the Devarshis, I am Srinarada Maharshi. So why all this is spoken like this, you remember? Those people who are, those of us who are unable to go inward looking and able to realize the truth, for them we have to start from outside. So those who, when you start from outside, wherever you find something great, in that you see Krishna first. Sri Narada Maharshi, we saw greatest in him because of Narada Maharshi's bhakti. Bhakti is the acharya of the bhakti process. And similarly, among the Brahman realized sages, Bhrigu is one of the highest. I am that, he says. I am that. And among the Rajarshis who have ruled this planet, I am Swayambhu Manu. Why? Why is Swayambhu Manu? Swayambhu Manu is the first personality, isn't it? And Swayambhu Manu, if you want to understand, you have to read the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Third canto, if you read, you will know about Swayambhu Manu. What was so special about Swayambhu Manu? Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa, they were the first two created personalities. Brahma was confused about creation, and then he found out this process. If you create a male and female, together they will procreation will happen. and then the progeny will increase. Because earlier Brahma was struggling with, Brahma was given this responsibility to increase the creation, isn't it? So Brahma was failing, and eventually he found out that creation, he has to create a male and a female, and that is how Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa was created. And from there came all others after that, isn't it? So that Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa, when they were created, Swayambhu Manu's administration of the planet in his time, Swayambhu Manandaram, first Manu's time, he was such a personality, there was not a moment when he was not engaged in self-realization. Imagine that. Not a moment he could stay outside self-realization. Even while administering his kingdom, what he has to manage, even at that time he was absorbed in self-realization. That was the personality Swayambhu Manu. And it is Swayambhu Manu's daughter, Devahuti Devi, who was married to Kardama Prajapati. And from Kardama Prajapati, Krishna came as Kapila Vasudev, isn't it? And Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi had one, Krishna's one of the incarnations, Kapila, Lord Kapila. Through him, the knowledge of Sangham came to this world. Sankhya philosophy came through him, Sankhya Shastram, in other words. So that Kapila Maharshi is Krishna himself. It's not different from Krishna. But it is not because of that Swayambhu Manu is, again, not because he is a family member that he is being respected. No. He is respected because Swayambhu Manu's life in this world, in the third canto, explains there how he spent his time in this world. That, forget the verses, I don't have the third canto. But there it says that there was not even Ayadayamas Tasyasan Snavam Yandrayobha. That Ayadayamas Tasyasam. That means there was not one yamam where he could stay away without engaging in Krishna consciousness. Either in the chanting or in the shastra, studying shastram. And he had one special character, characteristic of Swayambhu Manu was, one of the specialities in the bhakti shastram is that you start acting Krishna's pastimes, acting in your own life. You act that particular pastime. In the Bhagavatam you see gopis used to imitate Krishna, isn't it, in their pastimes. When Krishna disappeared in the middle of the rasa dance, gopis started imitating Krishna in the middle of the rasa dance. They were imitating Krishna. And each, they were saying, have you seen me? Have you seen Krishna like this? I am like Krishna. I am Krishna, in other words. In that way, they used to perform various pastimes of Krishna, killing different demons, the way Krishna walked, the way Krishna played the flute, the way Krishna smiled, the way Krishna spoke. All these things the gopis started imitating. Imitating means they have absorbed themselves as Krishna and started acting. This is a very unusual way of performing Krishna consciousness. It's not normal. Very, very rare, extremely advanced devotees only will do such a thing. That's very special with them. That, and gopis have performed that. And another personality have done that is Swayambhu Manu. When he's not doing anything else, that's what he did. So you can see, that is the reason why Krishna says, among the Rajarshis, I am Swayambhu Manu. Not that Devahuti Devi was married to Kardama Prajapati. Not because of that. Although that is there in the Bhagavatam. Only because of their that spiritual understanding and spiritual position, they have all been recognized in the Bhagavatam. Krishna says, I am that Swayambhu Manu. Because of that. I am that Swayambhu Manu. That is the important thing. So, Brahmarshinam Bhrigurahaṁ Rajarshinam Aham Manu Devarshinam Naradoham Havirdhanyasmi Denushum. Devarshinam Naradoham. Among the Devarshis, I am Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi's history, you know, that he was a Gandharva before, isn't it? Ubabarhana was his name. Sri Narada Maharshi was called Ubabarhana. And this Narada Maharshi, what did he do? Gandharvas are a group of people who enjoys life. They are not like us. And all facilities are given by Krishna's arrangement. They got everything. This Gandharva is a very special class of people. All they want to do is sing, dance, and eat well and travel all the time. And they have given them a group of women also. Siddhartha Maharshi had all these facilities of the group. They used to sing together and wander around all over the creation. They used to move around. Gandharva's capacity was given to them. So Siddhartha Maharshi says, if you read in the 7th canto, you will see this, in the 15th chapter, very last chapter, what happened to him, he says. In one instance, there was some meeting going on in Lord Brahma's assembly, in Brahmalokam. So at that time, Narada Maharshi went with all his party there, singing some songs which were not very spiritual, which was very much based on I don't know what songs he sung there, but it says there in the Bhagavatam, he says that I sang those songs and went there, and when they saw me singing those songs, they cursed me, you become a Shudra. And that is how he had to come and take birth in that life, as you know, where he had to, how Bhagavatam in the beginning, as he spoke there, that he got an opportunity to take the, he got the birth as a child of a servant maid, but he was a Ubabarhana was his name in his previous life, and then in this life, due to association with those great sages, somehow due to their mercy, Sri Narada Maharshi escaped again. He managed to got back to, and then he realized the beauty of bhakti. So because in bhakti Narada Maharshi excelled everybody else, and he wrote this Narada Bhakti Sutram based as a shastram, bhakti shastram, what he created. Because of that, Krishna is saying, Devarshinam Naradoham. Among all the Devarshis, I am Sri Narada Maharshi. I am Sri Narada Maharshi. Because Narada Maharshi is a Deva, isn't it? He's a Gandharva. Gandharva belongs to that group of people in the higher planets, among the demigods group. So among them, Krishna is saying there, I am Sri Narada. Among them who have become sages, I am Sri Narada Maharshi. Indra is not considered there. Why? Because Indra is not a sage. Indra is not a sage. Sri Narada Maharshi only absorbed in engaging in preaching Krishna consciousness, number one. And he never got married also. Another qualification. Because Mariji Atri Angiras Pulastya Pulaha Kratu Bhrigu Vasishta Dakshascha Dashamat Tatra Narada. These are the 10 children of the Brahma. Most of them were Prajapatis. Only Sri Narada Maharshi refused to get married. Although he was created for the purpose to get married and to have procreation, he refused. He took spiritual realization as important, and therefore he is respected for that. So all others, they got married. Mariji got married, Atri got married, Angiras got married, Pulasti got married, Pulaha got married, Kradu got married, all of them got married. Their parampara is spoken in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? And also you know that Daksha Prajapati is also spoken there, and immediately after Daksha comes Narada Maharshi. And Daksha had created enough trouble for everyone, isn't it? In the 4th whole canto with Sri Parvati, that problem he had with Lord Shiva and all that. So, Dashamatatra Narada. Narada Maharshi is the 10th person who refused to get married and lived that, maintained that bhakti throughout, and Krishna had a special attachment to Sri Narada Maharshi in that way. So, Brahmarshinam Braguraham, Rajarshinam Ahamanu, Devarshinam Naradoham, Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushu, Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu, that is the cow. From all things can be milk. Anything what you have, any desire to have, anything from the Kamadhenu. Among all the cows, I am Kamadhenu. You know who Kamadhenu is? Why Kamadhenu? That is a good question, isn't it? Why Kamadhenu? There are so many cows in this world. Why Kamadhenu? Kamadhenu did an extraordinary thing. When? If you remember that pastime of Govardhana pastimes. When Govardhanam was lifted, Krishna lifted Govardhana hill. Who offended Krishna? Indra offended Krishna. Isn't it? Indra offended Krishna. And after the whole Govardhana pastimes was over, and Indra had enough by now, that Indra's ego has gone, completely gone. So Indra comes to see Krishna in Vrindavanam. He comes to see Krishna in Vrindavanam. So when he came to see, still he hasn't lost that ego inside. Normally, after you have been taught a good lesson, Krishna has taught a very good lesson in that to Indra. Still he is thinking, after all I am Indra, isn't it? So he is coming to see Krishna with the crown and all that on his head, without any humility. And Krishna is saying there, at that time, shows to Indra, Krishna had this little stick in his hand, which he was used for tending the cows. He says to Indra, do you know what this stick for? to teach people like you a lesson, he says. He says there, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned. It's not here. I don't have it. So he says, this stick I have in my hand to teach people like you a lesson. Indra is like this. Indra didn't know what to say. And he is also sweating. Because all the cowherd boys, they don't know he is Indra. They are looking at him. And Indra has been cursed and he has got hundreds of eyes all over his body. Hundreds and thousands of eyes all over. Sahasrarshan is called, another name of Indra. So they are teasing him, the cowherd boys. They are saying, have you seen anyone like this? Eyes all over the body like this. We all have only two eyes, but this man has got so many eyes. So like this, I started teasing. Indra, deliberately Krishna has done this to make him humble. To make, because Indra's offense was such that he was asking, who is Krishna? After all, he is a human boy, little lad in this world. How does he not respect me? This was Indra's question, isn't it? So, eventually what happened was, little by little Indra's ego was always getting destroyed. And at one point, that Indra had enough. And Indra was thinking, what should I do now? What shall I say to Krishna? Because I have done something which I don't know how to explain it. I have done such an offense to Krishna. So that Govardhanam pastime, if you read, you will notice this in Krishna book. That how Indra's ego is melting little by little. Whole ego was melted completely down and Indra felt eventually, who is going to rescue me now? Who is going to help me? Fortunately, Kamadhenu came there. Kamadhenu came there and Kamadhenu bathed Krishna with her milk. With her milk. And not only that, Kamadhenu told Krishna, from now on, you be our leader. Not this Indra anymore. We don't want him anymore as our leader. Kamadhenu come from there. She has come from there and she bathed Krishna in the milk. And because of that, Krishna got the name as Govinda. Govinda name came to Krishna like that. Because, and it is on that day that Krishna got the name Govinda. And it is on that day that Krishna took up the responsibility of the cows. That's why when we say, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayaja Jagadidaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. So Govinda, Krishna's position as Govinda, that has come through Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu was the first personality who initiated this milk with the milk to perform, to bathe Krishna. With the milk to bathe Krishna. And what Kamadhenu started that day, since then, was followed by others later. That's why when you go to all the, now we may bathe Krishna with the milk, isn't it? On Janmashtami day, on special occasions like that. This all came and Kamadhenu was the first personality who did that to Krishna. So you can see, that since that day, bathing Krishna in milk has become a way of worship of Krishna. And that process followed, and today also we have. So, Kamadhenu is respected for that. For what she has done, Krishna recognized. And Krishna says, among them, I am Kamadhenu. Isn't it? Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushu. Havirdhanyasmi Dhenushu. That is why she is accepted as Krishna. Siddheshwaranam kapilaha സുബർണോഹം വദത്രിനാം പ്രജാപതീനാം ദക്ഷോഹം പിതൃണാമഹമര്യമാം സിദ്ധേശ്വരാണാം കപിലഹ സുബർണോഹം പദത്രിനാം പ്രജാപതീനാം ദക്ഷോഹം പിതൃണാഹം പിതൃണാമഹമര്യമാം സിദ്ധേശ്വരാണാം എമംഗ് ദ സിദ്ധാസ് ഐ എം കപില മഹർഷി എമംഗ് ദി സിദ്ധാസ് ഐ എം സിദ്ധേശ്വര ഐ എം കപില മഹർഷി കപില ഇസ് മീ എമംഗ് ദി സിദ്ധസ് Siddhas means who have got siddhis, isn't it? All siddhis they have. Among them, I am Kapila Maharshi. Padatrinam, among the birds, I am Suparna. Suparna is Garuda. Garuda is me. And Prajapatinam, Dakshoham. Among all the Prajapatis, I am Daksha. I am Daksha. Why? Because Daksha is the expert in creation, isn't it? Although Daksha offended Lord Shiva, which is in the fourth canto, later on Daksha came to his senses and again he continued the creation. And it is from Daksha's parampara that all the living entities had come from him. All the other living entities have come later. That you will notice in the Bhagavatam, that Daksha had to take birth again as the son of Prachetas. As Prachetas' son Daksha came, then he married, when Prachetas married Marisha, the daughter of the forest. And in that relationship, Daksha was born. And Daksha continued creation from there. And then Aditi Devi, Didi Devi, Kashyapa Prajapati, through them, we have got all the other, all living entities were created from that. All living, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, you will see that later, earlier. So that's why it says here, Dakshoham, Prajapatinam Dakshoham, പിതൃണാം അഹം ആര്യമാവ് പിതൃണാം അഹം ആര്യമാവ് പിതൃലോകം പിതൃലോകം ഈസ് ദ പ്ലേസ് വേർ വി ഓൾ ഗോ നോർമലി ദാറ്റ്സ് വേർ വി ഗോ വെൻ ഡു വി ഗോ ആഫ്റ്റർ വി ലീവ് ദ സോൾ ലീവ്സ് ദിസ് ബോഡി ഇറ്റ്സ് ജേർണി ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോട്ട് എസ്കേപ്പ് ഫ്രം ദി സൈക്കിൾ ഓഫ് ബർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഡെത്ത് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു കം ബാക്ക് ഹിയർ അഗെയിൻ ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഗോ ടു പിതൃലോകം ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ പിതൃലോകം ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് Among them who escape from here, there are very few who will escape from this world of karma, isn't it? Karma is the prison house, what we have created. See, when you accept Shastram, many things what people come up with this world, with the idea, you cannot accept that. I'll give you an example. That the this prison what we live now, it's a prison. Why is it a prison? Prison in the sense that here you perform karma. This is karma, world of karma, isn't it? Karma mandalam. And where does this prison begin from? From the topmost planetary system to the lower planetary system. It's in this framework this prison is, which means higher planets, middle planets, lower planets. In this prison, these three cells in there, you keep moving up and down, but you can't go out of it. You cannot escape from that. It's not easy. While you are stuck in these three planetary systems, it's called karma mandalam. Karma mandalam. And karma is there. And karma is created in this world. Here you create karma. Suppose you create such a good pious results, good, so to say that you have performed so many pious activities, that means your bank account has gone so well, you have accumulated a lot of credit into your account, you have to finish up, you have to go to the higher planets. To enjoy that. Or alternatively, if you have engaged in sinful activities and created a lot of trouble in this world and a lot of sinful reactions, in which case you have to suffer for that, you have to go to the lower planets also. Lower planets also. But whether you perform pious activities or you perform sinful activities, either way, you have to eventually go to higher planets or lower planets, but you can't escape from the world of karma. After finishing the higher planets, you come back here. After finishing the lower planets also, you come back here, in this earthly planet. It is here that all the karma is performed and all the karmic reactions happens here, when we live in this world. Now, when we leave this body, suppose you have escaped from this world of karma, which means this planetary systems, then you are out, you escape from here once for all. You don't have to come back. But because majority of us will stay back, the chances are that we have to come back here. In which case, we will leave this body and we go to Pitralokam. We'll go to Pitralokam. That is where the decision is taken, where the next body, which conditions, under which parents, which form, all these decisions are taken in the Pitralokam. So that's why this Pitralokam is given importance. And the predominating deities there in the Pitralokam are called Pitrudevadas. This is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. If you see the two processes, Devayanam and Pitruyanam. Devayanam is the process who is going back home, back to the spiritual world, or escaping from this prison once for all. Pitruyanam is the process who keeps coming back and going, coming back and going. From Pitruyanam, Pitralokam, that decision is made where we allow to accept another body, and then the subtle elements what we have released before, when you leave this body, automatically the sushma pamsham of the five material elements, we are going back to the Chandralokam where it came from. And from there it has to be brought back, and we come back again through the rain back to this world. Back to this world again. So the question is, suppose in this world we have, this is a prison house, we can accept that, isn't it? It is in this prison house, we have no freedom to go away from here. According to our karma, we will be taken up or down, whichever way it is. But we are still within the prison, we are not outside the prison. So Bhagavatam will tell you later in the 10th canto that when this pious activity and the result and the sinful activity, when it's all finished, all exhausted, then you can free yourself from here. But so long as you are in the trap of this pious activity, sinful activity, either you have to enjoy or suffer, whichever way it is. Now, people say this, that serving other living entities is important. Isn't it? Serving other living entities is important. Now, in a prison house, we are all prisoners, basically we are all prisoners here. Now, serving other living entities means, in one prison, one prisoner is helping other prisoners. Now, if you are in the proper prison, suppose you are helping other prisoners, the prison officer is not going to let you out just because you are helping other prisoners in the prison house. You may be thinking that, oh, our argument is, many people argue like this, that the, oh, if I do social service to others, then I will get enough piety that I don't have to come back here again. I will escape from this. But that is not true. Because even if you have done social service, the result is that you may go to higher planets and enjoy for the pious activity what you have done, but you have not escaped out of the prison. Even if you have done one prisoner serving other prisoners, doesn't mean the prison officer is going to open the door for you. He will tell you, well, your time is not finished yet, you still have to stay here in the prison house. So this argument from people who say that social service will release us from this stage is coming from ignorance. It's coming from ignorance. Because that is why Vedas are telling us the only way to free yourself from here is through bhakti, knowledge, renunciation and devotion. That's the only way you can escape from here. When Krishna consciousness becomes strong, then you will understand that the what is our position relationship with Krishna, and you will know who you are, and then you can get the release note. Otherwise, no. So Pitralokam has a direct relationship with this earthly planet. All living entities who are like us, who are here, if you have to accept a lower body, say animal's body, bird's body, whatever body, those decisions are taken in the Pitralokam. And among the Pitrudevadas who are present there, Aryama was the chief. That is why Krishna is saying that among the Pitrudevadas, I am Aryama. You can see here that Siddheshwaranam Kabilaha Subarnoham Padatrinam Prajapadinam Dakshoham Pitrunamaham Aryama. Siddheshwaranam Kabilaha Subarnoham Padatrinam Prajapadinam Dakshoham Pitrunam Aham Aryamam Aham Aryamam Aryamam Krishna is here. Then, after that, Mam Vidyuddhava Daityanam Prahladam Asureshwaram Somam Nakshatraushadhinam Dhanesham Yaksharakshasam. Mam Vidyuddhava Daityanam Prahladam Asureshwaram Somam nakshatraushadhinam dhanesham yaksharakshasam. Krishna says, Uddhava, among the asuras, I am Prahlada. And ma vidyuddhava daityanam Prahlada asureshwaram. And somam nakshatra aushadhinam. He says, som nakshatram aushadhi. Among the stars, I am the moon. Why? Because moon is the one who gives life to the plants. So moon has a very high responsibility. That because of the presence of the moon shine which comes from the moon is actually give life to the plants. And due to the plants, all living entities survive in this world. Isn't it? Whether it is human species or animal species, without the plants and without the aushadhi, aushadhi means that, without moonshine, they will not survive in this world. So Krishna says, somam nakshatra aushadhinam, and dhanesham yaksharakshasam. So, Kubera, yaksharakshasam, dhanesha is Kubera. You know Kubera who is? Kubera is the treasurer of the demigods. He has all the wealth under his control. So among the yaksharas and rakshas, I am Kubera. Krishna says, I am Kubera. Kubera's yakshas had a great fight with Dhruva, isn't it? Dhruva started killing these yakshas without any consideration. And at that time what happened? That Kubera comes there and tries to pacify Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj paid his obeisances to Kubera and says to him, my Krishna consciousness, for a moment I lost it and therefore I performed this wrong thing. One yaksha has killed Uttama, Dhruva's stepbrother, Surichi's son. So, to revenge that, what did Dhruva do? Dhruva started killing all the yakshas. And when Dhruva started doing that, he got very upset. And Brahma very got upset. He sent Kubera there to talk to Dhruva. So when Kubera came there, Dhruva Maharaj paid his obeisances. Kubera told him, what you are doing is a wrong thing. One yaksha has done something. Why do you have to kill all the yakshas for that? That is in the bodily concept, isn't it? That's the bodily concept of life. Once someone has done one mistake, you can't kill everyone for that. What have they done? They have not done anything. So that was the logic. And at that time, Dhruva Maharaj came to his senses. And he paid his obeisances to Kubera and apologized and asked for forgiveness from Kubera. That is one incident. Kubera's children came, Nalakubera and Manigriva. You know what happened. They came to see, engaged in their fully drunk, they were, and they got absorbed in their own leela that was going on, and Sri Narada Maharshi came that way. When they saw Narada Maharshi, they didn't even cover themselves with the cloth. All the women, they moved away from there, frightened about Sri Narada Maharshi, but because they were intoxicated, they did not bother to cover themselves with the bodies. Narada Maharshi thought that this is the false ego inside of Nalakubera and Manigriva. What all false ego? First thing, children of the richest person, Kubera. This is how false ego comes in everyone. That's what that pastime is talking to us. Sri Aishwarya Madhandam, it says. The ego inside of that Nalakubera and Manigriva. Basically, they were the children of the richest personality, Kubera, plus very best education they had, high education, plus, so the ego due to wealth, ego due to education, then ego due to youth. In the youth stage, everyone has an ego, isn't it, to take over the world, that ego inside. That's what he's saying. All of them were present in that, Nalakubera and Manigriva, the two sons of Kubera. But out of Krishna's compassion for Kubera, Krishna decided to release them from that bondage. Fortunately, both Nalaguvera and Manigriva apologized to Sri Narada Maharshi later. And Narada Maharshi told them, 100 years you stand there as these two trees, Yamalarjuna trees. And one day Krishna will come and release you from there. And only because of that, that they accepted that they had to come here and stand in Vrindavan. And they had that good fortune that Krishna came with that mortar tied to his back and pulled the mortar between the two trees, and the two trees fell. That you know in the 10th canto of that story. When the trees fell, immediately appeared these two personalities, Nalagavera and Manigriva, and they started glorifying Krishna at that time. So that you can see in the Bhagavatam. So they are Kubera's children. So Krishna has a feeling for Kubera because Kubera's children are also devotees. And therefore Krishna accepted them in their pastimes, in the childhood pastimes. Krishna accepted them. When Krishna came to this world and performed the childhood pastimes in Vrindavanam, many people were invited to join him. And that decision was taken in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, you will see. When the churning of the milk ocean happened, many Bhagavatam authorities, scholars in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they say, Krishna was actually choosing those people who should come for the Krishna's appearance in this world. Who should come, who are invited. Many people are invited at that time, that they could come with him for the pastimes in Vrindavanam later. So that is how that was. So Kubera's position is like that. Dhanesham Yaksharashasam, he says. So, Mam vidyuddhava daityanam prakhladam asureshwaram somam nakshatra aushadhinam dhanesham yaksharakshasam. Then, airavatam gajendranam yadasam varunam prabhum tamadam dhumadam suryam manushyanam cha bhupatim. Manushyanam cha bhupatim. Airavatam gajendranam yadasam varunam prabhum tapadam dhumadam suryam manushyanam cha bhupatim. It says, gajendranam airavatam. Airavatam is Indra's elephant. Among the elephants, I am airavatam. Why airavatam? Airavatam appeared when the milk ocean was churned. That's when airavatam appeared, like Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi, Kaustubham, airavatam, they all appeared when the milk ocean was churned. Just like our Kamadhenu has done this service to Krishna after the pastimes of Govinda or the Govardhana pastimes, Airavatam also did the same thing. Airavatam brought the, after Kamadhenu bathed with milk, Krishna has to be bathed in water. Airavatam did that. Airavatam with its trunk brought the water and bathed Krishna. So that Airavatam, Krishna says, I am that. I am that Airavatam. Airavatam gajendranam. Yadasam varunam prabhum. Among the aquatics, I am Varuna. Varuna. Varuna's world is underneath the water, isn't it? Varuna lives in the water. I know in a gross level to understand all this is very, very difficult, because what do we understand that Varuna is living there? But as you know, when Akrura and Krishna was coming, Krishna and Balaram, they were coming back from Vrindavanam to Mathura. That day, when Nanda Maharaj was abducted, when Nanda Maharaj was abducted by Varuna and taken to the Varuna's world underneath the water, and then Varuna comes and releases Nanda Maharaj. Krishna goes there and brings Varuna, Nanda Maharaj back from Varuna. That pastime is there, isn't it? Not with Akrura, but earlier when one Shivaratri day, when they were in the night, they were fasting in Ambiyavanam. And after that, when they were bathing in the morning, it was too early. You are not supposed to bathe in the water that early in the water. So Varuna's servants came and took Nanda Maharaj underneath the water. When Krishna went there into Varuna's world, Nanda Maharaj was there, and Varuna apologized and released Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna brought him back. So this Varuna is a very powerful personality. He is in control of the water. And 4/5 of this earthly planet is water. We shouldn't forget that also. Varuna has a higher control here. than the kings and the democratically elected governments and all that. Varuna is much more in control of the planet, because most of it is water, isn't it? So Varuna is the predominating deity there. What else you see with Varuna? It is Varuna who is the realized soul who teaches Brahmavidya to Bhrigu. Varuna teaches. Plus, Varuna is another personality who has performed Rajasuyam sacrifice. This is all Varuna's credit. Varuna is a great personality who performed Rajasuyam sacrifice. What else? When Hiranyaksha first saw that the earthly planet was missing, isn't it? When Swayambhu Manu was given the responsibility to rule the earth was missing. It was underneath the water. And Hiranyaksha was hiding this earthly planet underneath the water. So when water, from there, that earthly planet was brought up by the Krishna's incarnation as boar. Boar incarnation took it on the tusk and brought the earthly planet and kept it on the top of the water. Garbhodaka Vashyane, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So at that time, Hiranyaksha could not see Krishna anywhere. He didn't see the boar. He didn't see the boar. So the first person he saw was Varuna. So he goes and wanted to have a fight with Varuna straight away. So Varuna says, I am not strong enough to fight with you, but there is somebody else who is stronger than me who can fight with you. And it is Varuna who is directing Hiranyaksha to look for Krishna. And he is in the form of a boar. You will find him there, he says. And Varuna directs him there to fight with Krishna. Boar incarnation. The third canto, you can read that. So you will see Varuna there in the Bhagavatam coming like that. So Krishna says here that the Yadasam Varunam Prabhum, among all the aquatics, I am Varuna. And Tapadam Dimadam Suviryam, of all those who heats this world or who discharges heat, heat energy to this world, that and who is illuminating everything, I am sun. I am the sun. And Manushyanamcha Bhupatim. Manushyanamcha Bhupatim. Among the human society, I am the king. I am the king. Now, nowadays, of course, we are all republic, isn't it? Or republic, or what do they call? The democratically elected system. But this is a new thing. It's not probably 100, 200 years this system has come into the human society. Prior to that, it kings who ruled everywhere. Isn't it? In everywhere, the kings ruled the planet. And from the Vedic times, I mean, thousands and thousands of years, the kings ruled the planet. Democratic system is a new system. But you can see the bad aspects of that also very much in the society. You never get anything good done here. If you want to get anything done, it's very difficult. Because everything has to be passed by the approval by the ministries and parliament and everything, whatever it is. So that we are experiencing anyway. But Krishna is saying that Manushyanam cha Bhupatim, the tradition in the Vedic tradition, based on the Kshatriya kings who were trained to be proper, authoritative, that quality is what Krishna talks about Kshatriya. Isn't it? Kshatriya's qualities are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it not? That what does it say about Kshatriya's qualities? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there that that the Tejo Dhradir, it begins with Tejo Dhradir Shamondaksham Yuddejapya Balayanam Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatrakarma Swabhavajam. I'll tell you which words it is. These qualities. Tejo Dhridir. That is qualities of a devotee talking about. It's here. What is it, Shamo? Sorry? 18th chapter it is, I think. 18? 43, yeah. Yeah, Shauryam Tejo Dhridirdakshyam, it is. Shauryam Tejo Dhridirdakshyam, Yuddhejapya Abalayinam, Dhanam Ishwara Bhavascha, Kshatrakarma Sabhavajam. This is why these qualities are in the king. These qualities, what is spoken here. What are they? Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. So when these qualities are present in a person, he's a Kshatriya. What are they? Shauryam, that heroism, Tejas, the power, Dhriti, determination, Dakshyam, resourcefulness, and Yuddhejabi Abalayanam, that ability to fight the battle till death comes, that courage in a person. And important than that is Dhanam Ishwara Bhavascha, Ishwara Bhavam. Ishwara Bhava means that I am the controller. It's necessary because if the whole world become Brahmanas, what will happen? Imagine. So it won't become first of all, but if it does become, Brahmanas are generally considered to be very weak in their body, isn't it? Because of the fasting and because of lack of exercise, their bodies are absolutely no use. Practically in the bodily level, if you look at them, they have no strength. They have no strength. It is not easy to fight with a Brahmana, proper Brahmana. But because majority of the, when the Varnashrama Dharma existed, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, nature, Brahmanas are like that. Now, others, particularly the Vaishya, Shudra and all that, if there is no control over them, they will also create hell. They can also create hell because of the Vaishya nature and the Shudra nature. Vaishya nature and the Shudra nature. If they are properly situated, that's fine. But if it's not, what can happen is that they will question the authority of the Brahmanas. So in order to maintain that balance in the society and make sure that the society is led by the Brahmana, there has to be an authority in the society. And that is the role of the Kshatriya. If somebody questions anything, somebody should be able to question back at him. Why not? That question, that can only come from Kshatriya. And that's why it is called Ishwara Bhava. Ishwara Bhava means that controlling nature. That is among the Kshatriyas. Among the Kshatriyas. If you read the history of the Kshatriya kings, it's always very interesting. Particularly many of the Kshatriya kingdoms, like these Rajput kings in Jaipur, their history. If you read all of them, you can see the Kshatriya nature in them. So powerful they were, Kshatriya kings were. Fearlessness, absolutely no fear at any circumstances. No fear at all. But all that has gone now. Now it's based on the votes. Prabhupada used to say about that. And when you select people like this, what can you expect from the government? That based on, because there you're not taking into consideration any of these qualities in a person. That is the unfortunate thing. So there you can see that charitable nature, protective nature, which is Ishwara Bhavam, controlling nature, that is a Kshatriya quality. Dhanam Ishwara Bhavascha, Kshatra Karma Subhavajam. It is Kshatriya's Subhava Karma. Karma and Subhava means like that. And that quality is necessary for a king. The king must have that in full, this nature. And that's why kings, if we have no respect for the authority, how can we expect anything good to come? Authority has, nobody respects authority anymore, isn't it? Everyone questions, if he is a prime minister, he is only there because he wants to make some money or some statement we will make like that. When we have a system like that, it is very difficult. That when we have every 5 years, he'll lose his job after that if he does not manipulate the voters, isn't it? So you can see, this is not the relationship between the king and the subjects. King and the subjects is a matter of respect there. There is respect among the subject. And that subject felt protected by the king also. The subjects felt protected by the king. I'm not saying monarchy or the democracy, what is better. That's not. What I'm saying is the the nature of the way, if it is managed properly, monarchy can be the best solution also, because then many of the things what we are experiencing in the democratic system also may not be a problem. Because there is no authority is not given to them, to anybody, even to the Prime Minister. There is no authority. His powers are also very limited. He has to get through the parliament, everything what he wants to do. And that means if it's a coalition government, then he has had enough trouble. He has to satisfy not only your party, other parties as well. So much complicated it becomes. And it is not possible to run an administration like that, which means that the subjects will suffer from that. Subjects has to accept it. That's the unfortunate thing. Anyway, due to various reasons, things happen in life. There's nothing we can do about it. But whatever Bhagavatam is saying to us is that among them, I am the king. I am the king. That's one thing. Secondly, the king has, that role is not given to him in a responsible way. You will see in the Bhagavatam later, whatever pious activities we perform, 1/6 of that he gets a credit. That means it is his responsibility to maintain the society, to live in a proper way, not engage in sinful activities, with the purpose that he should lead a spiritual life and he should encourage people to advance in the spiritual path. This is his responsibility. King's responsibility, that is. That's why in the historic times, the first thing they would like to convince is the king. You will see throughout the history, Krishna consciousness or any other preaching system, many other philosophers also, they'll try to influence the king first. Because if the king follows, others will naturally follow. There was no problem. So king has this responsibility of leading the people in the spiritual direction, number one. Number two, king gets the results 1/6 of what pious activity, if the population is engaged in spiritual activities, all the benefits from that, 1/6 of that goes to the king. Equally, if they are engaged in sinful activity, 1/6 of that also goes to the king. He has to suffer for that. So he knows very well that if he doesn't live as an example, that means all his dealings, and he should conduct his life in such a way that he follows the Shastram strictly. And therefore he has advisors. And his advisors are not elected people. He selects them among the best of the available people, like from the Brahmanas, highly learned, highly qualified, and highly, who are very strict in their life in this world. Looking at everything, he has the freedom to select his advisors, whom he elects them. And they have a control over him. In the sense that if he does not adhere or listens to them, they have the capacity to burn him into ashes. That you see in the case of Vena, isn't it? Vena did not listen to the Brahmanas, isn't it? What did the Brahmanas do? The rishis who were present there, they tried to reason with Vena. Vena wouldn't listen. Vena wanted to stop all kinds of sacrifices and says, I am that Vishnu, you offer it to me, everything. Seeing all that, they only said one word, hum. Hum. Hatam achyudanindaya. Bhagavatam says, because he became so offensive to Krishna, he only had to say hum. Vena fell down there dead on the spot. So such was the relationship between the king and the Brahmanas. They can lead him in the right way, they can lead him in the wrong way also. So you can see that system, how it operated. Hatam achyudanindaya. Achyudaninda, that was the offense what Vena has done. Vena has done this big offense that he insulted Krishna by speaking like this, isn't it? And the Brahmanas couldn't bear that and they immediately cursed him and made him to fall down and die. And then there was no king in the kingdom. And that was a most unfortunate situation. And then they churned the body and from the thigh, Krishna himself came as Prithu, King Prithu, and conducted the and brought the whole population, because due to Vena's administration, the whole society has become godless, because Vena was like that. So the importance of a king in the society is such that leading the whole society is king's responsibility. It's such an important responsibility. Prithu's words, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will notice how Prithu conducted the administration, Prithu Maharaj. And that is why Prithu is respected so much, because of his administration. So here, Airavadam Gajendranam Yadasam Varunam Prabhum Tapadam dhivadam suryam manushyanam cha bhupatim. Manushyanam cha bhupatim. Manushyanam cha bhupatim. It says manushyanam cha bhupatim. Then what is next? Uchai shravastu ranganam dadhunam asmi kanchanam yamasam yamadam chaham sarpanam asmi vasuki. Uchai shravastu ranganam dadhunam asmi kanchanam yamasam yamadam chaham sarpanam asmi vasuki. Uchai shravanam Uchai shravanam stu anganam dadhunam asmi kanchanam. Turanga Turanga means horses. Among the horses, I am Uchaishravasa. Uchaishravasa also came up with Airavadam and Lakshmi Devi when the milk ocean was churned. And that horse Indra has taken to the heavenly planets. Other demons who were present there, they were not interested. They are waiting for that pot to come. So that's their mind turned in that direction. Uchaishravasa was that Krishna says, I am Uchaishravasa. And among all the metals, dhadu, dravyam, having that, dhadunam asmi kanchanam. Among all, and this attraction for the gold, isn't it? It will never go, would it? Attraction for the gold will never go. So, you can see that gold has been an attraction from historic times. Can't say when it started, it's been there always, that shining gold. From the Shastram you will also see gold is referred to as yellow stool. For those who are after self-realization, gold is no use to them. What can gold do for after self-realization? But in the world, gold is given a higher value than anything else. And that's why I say, Dadunam asmi kanchanam, yama samyamadam chaham. Those who are controlling this world, keeping a control, samyamanam. That's why Yama's world is called Samyamini Puri. That's how Yama's place is called. Samas, like Brahmalokam, Brahma's world, similarly, Samyamini Puri is Yama's world. And Nachiketas goes to Samyamini Puri. In Kathopanishad you will see that Nachiketas wants to know about the purpose of life. What's going to happen? So where does he go? To Samyamini Puri, where Yama lives. And that Samyamini, the same is called here Samyamadam Chaham. And because he lives here, he is called Yama. And Yama is the one who controls our death. Isn't it? Who is in charge of our death. He decides, get him back, get this person back, get that person back. He makes that decision in our life, in this world. When the time is up, he says, sends the email to his people to get them back. So, he says, Sarpanam asmi vasugi. Among all the sarpam, snakes, vasugi is me. Vasugi is what Lord Shiva has on his neck. That is Vasugi. Sarpam, among the sarpams, I am Vasugi. Then, Nagendranam anandoham, Mrigendra shrangidam shtrinam, Ashramanam aham turyo, Varnanam pradhamo inakham. Nagendranam anandoham, Mrigendra shrangidam shtrinam, Ashramanam aham turyo, Varnanam pradhamo inakham. Let's look at this. Nagendranam anandoham. Aham Nagendranam anandaha. Among the Nagam. Nagam means, this is another category among the snakes. Nagas and the snakes. Among the Nagas, I am Ananda. And among the animals who have got horns, and Damshtra, that means their, what do they call the, yes, claws. There, I am the lion. Krishna says, I am the lion among them. Then, Ashramanam aham Turiyam. Among all the four ashramas, I am sannyasam. Sannyasi I am. I am sannyasi. All the ashramas, I am sannyasi. And varna anam prathamo anakha. That among the four varnam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra, I am brahmana. So, among them, ananda is me, and among the animals who have got the horns and the dhamshtras, I am lion. And among the ashramam, four ashramas, I am sannyasam. And among the four varnam, I am brahmana. Know that, he says. So, here, ashramanam aham turiyo, varnanam prathamanakha. Why turiyam, why given so much importance to sannyasa ashram? Because sannyasa ashram is the ashram completely dedicated for self-realization, isn't it? Completely dedicated for self-realization. And sannyasi, like brahmana, is on the top of the ladder, top of the society. He is supposed to lead others also in the same direction. That is sannyasi's responsibility. Because he is doing that, always situated in the transcendental platform, he is supposed to advance others, help others to advance on the spiritual path. Mainly, sannyasi's responsibility is to propagate Krishna consciousness. That is the only responsibility sannyasi has got. Other things are not considered as that important. Mainly it is propagation of Krishna consciousness or helping the people in the path of self-realization. That is a sannyasi's main responsibility. To encourage people, to help them and direct them in spiritual path. That's a sannyasi's main responsibility. Not other things, because in the modern world you can see that sannyasa ashram is also abused in different ways, in many, many different things. They get involved in all sorts of things, fundraising, projects management, and businesses, industries, all kinds of things, politics. They are entering all kinds of fields, sannyasis now. And that is a very sad thing. That sannyasa is a mockery of the sannyasa ashram. Sannyasi should be situated on the platform of the soul, like Krishna says, isn't it? In the Upanishads also says that Ishavasam idam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat. That is the state of a sannyasa ashram. And in that ashram, he should conduct his life in such a way, except to help others in the process of self-realization, or Krishna consciousness, in other words. That is sannyasi's main responsibility. Because he is finished with this world. What has he got to do here otherwise? So, that is the important thing. So, that's why he says there, Nagendranam anandoham, Mrigendra shrangi damshtrenam. Ananda. Nagendra is Ananda. Ananda. Shesha, Adishesha, which is Balram. Isn't it? Lord Balram is Ananda, Adishesha. That's me, Krishna is saying there. And Mrigendra Shrangi Damshtinam, among the animals, lion. Of course, Krishna is the lion. Ashramanam aham turiyo. Turiyam is sannyasashram. Among all the ashramam, I am the sannyasi. And among the all the varnam, I am the brahmana. Varnanam pradhamanaka. Tirthanam srodasam ganga. Samudram sarasamaham. Ayudhanam dhanuraham. Tripuragno dhanushmadam. Tirthanam srodasam shanga ganga. Samudra sarasamaham, ayudhanam dhanuraham, tripuragno dhanushmadam. Among all the tirtham, holy rivers in this world which flowing, I am Ganga. Ganga river is me. And all the water that is stagnant, which doesn't flow, it is ocean, samudram, or ocean, it's me. And ayudhanam dhanuraham, among all the weapons, I am the bow. And tripuragno dhanushmadam. Then I am among the greatest greatest fight happened between Lord Shiva and the Tripura, the demons who had tried to, using Maya, they tried to create a war with Lord Shiva. You can read that in the, I think it is in the 6th canto, that incident happened, 6th canto, or it's in the 4th canto. I think it is in the 6th canto, yeah. And there, you will see there that Lord Shiva had a lot of difficulty there at that time in fighting this Tripuram. They had created in gold, silver and iron, 3 aeroplanes. And they started fighting the war with the demigods. They didn't know how to fight with them, because these three aeroplanes were invisible always. It can come into your vision when they want it. It can disappear from your vision when they like to do that. And that's a famous war, and they approached Lord Shiva to destroy them. And Lord Shiva tried very hard. He couldn't do it. And actually, these demons, they had the help of Maya. Maya, who was the demon, their personality, consultant, you can say, who gave them all the help in manufacturing them. And eventually, Krishna himself had to come, and with the help of Maya, he managed to kill these Tripuras. Tripuras are killed by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva's famous battle with that Tripuras, that is well known in the Bhagavatam also. And that there, Lord Shiva shown his strength in fighting. Krishna is saying here, among them, Tripuras were killed, in that Lord Shiva who killed that, that's me. That's me, he says there. So we'll stop there now. We'll come to start Bhagavad Gita in after 10 minutes.